Welcome to Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a news show. I'm your host, James Hartwell, and I'm joined by...
This is new. Andy Kay, and I'm joined by...
Derek Costia.
Look at that.
Hello, gentlemen.
We did it. Hey, it's been a while. How are you guys?
It's been a while.
Is that a song? Were we about to sing?
It's fucking Nickelback, man.
It's... I don't know how.
Or wait, is it Puddle of Mud or Nickelback? Hold on. It's been a while. Actually, shit, it might be Stain. Yeah, it is. It's Stain.
James, you went in like three different directions.
Oh, I know, but you listen, there's a strong group of grunge trash rock that you have to work your way through.
Okay.
Listen, I've been to Stain concerts. I can say that.
I think your age is showing a little bit, James.
But I mean, yeah, impressive. My age is always showing.
So it's been a while. Well, okay. James, add that in post. All right. It'll silently play behind us as we catch up, as we check in, as we talk about what's going on.
Yeah. How are you doing, Andy? Andy, have you seen The Time Knife yet? Did you do your...
No.
You didn't do your meditated experience?
I didn't step out of time yet. Oh. I got to message my friend because long-time listeners will remember I was going to go outside... And I don't know, step outside myself under the stars. But then Canada started on fire. And I don't know if they've had another outdoor gathering. And I was really sold under doing it outside. But I don't know. But I'm still in search of fun, safe ways to experience the world in new ways. I haven't done that, but I will tell you, okay...
Derek, just so you know, Andy was going to go to a guided meditative experience.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds like a fun Andy day.
Derek, you wouldn't want to do that?
Well, I would love the isolation chambers where you are floating inside the tank.
Okay.
Those sound amazing. Just
sure.
Left alone with just your thoughts. But... I don't like group activities. I feel like that would interfere with actually getting to know yourself.
You know what? That's fair. But it's not like you're talking to each other. All right. It's just sharing the space and sharing the experience and letting your mind build stories without boundaries under the stars. As someone, I think they just like bang on a drum or something. But all right, Derek. Well, I know that our next meetup, we'll go do some guided meditation. All right.
Especially if we do that one where it says the roof deck.
Oh, is it what? Oh, yes.
Andy, how about some Texas meditation?
Oh, wait, what is this?
Is that when you sit in front of a smoking brisket for 14 hours, Derek?
That is one of them. The other is going to the machine gun range.
Oh, God, no. No, 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 no.
Oh, Andy, no. Andy, you get ready for that. Because when I have my bachelor party... We're going to Vegas, and we're going to go to that place in Reno where you can shoot every gun known to man.
Oh, my God. You just shoot every gun?
Yeah, I think you can, like, they have, like, a minigun you could fire, and I think it's, like, $5 a bullet or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Andy, remember, this is about self-improvement and getting better accuracy and having a good time. There's no violence. There's no anger.
No. Nope.
I've had zero confrontations at a gun range other than...
That's like, true.
Other than, hey, you broke the rules. Stop that immediately.
Oh, so everyone's a rules lawyer on a gun range. I would hope so.
Yes, everyone is. And if they're not, it's not one I'm going back to.
Derek, let me phrase this as don't answer it if it can get you in trouble.
Mm.
Just go, mm. If do you own a gun? I don't think I've ever asked you that.
Yes,
oh.
I do.
Oh, cool. I don't have a problem with that. I'm just curious.
What? Do you own a minigun, Derek?
No, he doesn't own a minigun.
No, I had an AR pistol, but I feel like that's a little bit too much for self-defense.
Those things are weird.
Situation. So yeah. I've gone to a smaller caliber.
Something that won't shoot through the wall. Yeah, that's that's very respectful of you, Derek.
Yeah, I got a small handgun.
That's fair. But
it's just locked in the closet because I've been a safe part of the town.
That's right. That's proper gun ownership. Do you have Do you have is it bot? Do you have the, what you call it? There's like, I can't remember. Essentially, you put like a clip in the chamber or whatever. So it can't be fired.
It's unloaded. It's got an Allen wrench lock that on the gun. When that's locked, the trigger can't be pulled. There's a trigger guard lock, and it's inside of a locked box with keys for all of them in separate spots. So it'll take me like 5 minutes if I ever wanted to pull it out.
Is this a gun that like you bring then to the range?
Yeah.
Is this your sporting gun?
No.
How often do you go to the range, Derek?
Maybe 4 times a year. So, Andy,
awesome.
The range isn't just for entertainment. If you're having it with some kind of mindset of, I'm going to use this for self-defense, you should be able to use it in a safe and somewhat effective manner. So that's practice
at the range. Oh, that's a very good point. No, thanks for that clarification. Actually, I have a question for you. I was at my Gunpla Club. I was talking with this guy, and he was saying that Misato's gun from Evangelion is really popular, and that he knows a bunch of weebs that go to the shooting range, and they all use Misato's gun. Number one, do you have Misato's gun? And number two, is everybody at the range weebs?
There is a decent amount of weebs, but I think the 1911 from Revolver Allslaught shenanigans is a little bit more popular.
That's awesome.
So if it's very present for a major character in a video game, that people will just like to have it.
Andy, okay. I direct you to Slack where I linked you the minigun.
Okay. Oh no.
Yeah, it is. You get 100 rounds for $300. Keep in mind, the gun fires 4,000 rounds a minute.
And it's a little bit of a misnomer, but a minigun is not small.
Yes. Well, it fires small caliber, isn't it? Isn't that the thing? It just fires a lot of them.
Yes. Yes, but whoever decided to name it that was playing a joke on someone else, I feel.
Oh, my
God. We're going here. We're going to Battlefield Vegas.
To shoot that gun? Do I have to shoot a lot of guns to shoot that?
Apparently, if we spend $2,500, we can crush a car with a tank.
wait, what?
Yep.
I'll chip in for that. Listen, bachelor party, crazy crushing cars with tanks. Actually, only $2,500?
Starting at $2,500.
Okay. Well, now I'm starting to reel it back in.
But if that's what you want to do, is to destroy cars, they've got the construction playground just up
there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of violence happening in Vegas.
Oh, I mean, it's a violent city.
Well, I guess controlled, safe, and fun, right?
Well, yeah.
As long as we're all doing things safely and with consent.
Consent.
Thank you. I guess. Well, that Vegas trip is going to be one to look forward to. Speaking of Vegas, did you know Carrot Top's still a thing?
Yes.
You know he's ripped now, Andy?
He's always been ripped, but I think
he was a string bean for a long time.
Well, no, then he got scary. He got scary ripped. Now, at least I heard through the grapevine, or at least a third party, like he started to be less ripped because he was too scary. He was too crazy.
Yeah. Well, because he was like he was definitely not natural.
No, that could not have been.
Yeah.
No. But you know what? Good on him. But no, he has a residency there.
Yeah.
And
who else has a residency there? Katy Perry. Adele.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess Britney Spears had one there too, didn't she?
She did.
For some reason, I don't know why I didn't know big names had it. I thought it was just like, when I think of residency, I think of Frank Sinatra. And I don't even know if he ever had a residency.
He did.
Oh, did he? Okay.
I don't think in Vegas, though. Wasn't it?
No, he did in Vegas. He did in Vegas. It was towards the end, I think.
That makes
sense. It's basically like, I don't want to fucking tour this year, so I'm going to do a residency in Vegas.
Which is fair, but I always just thought it was for old people. But we've got young hip, well, maybe for millennials. I don't know. Is Gen Zers, is there anything for them?
I mean, Andy, have you seen The Sphere?
I just heard of that because Darren Aronofsky made a movie for it, right?
Oh, did he? I didn't know about that. So if you're unaware, They were building this when I was in Vegas last year, but they erected a giant half sphere in Vegas that is nothing but LEDs on the inside and outside. So it's just a giant projector screen in the basically on the Las Vegas Strip, and it's crazy good. Like these are really high definition LEDs,
and it's like multi stories tall.
Yeah,
it's it's an amphitheater. They're gonna do basketball games in there too, I think.
Oh,
they're not gonna show the game on the screen though. That would but they could.
I think U2 was the opening act for it, and I saw a lot of TikToks about it, and it was crazy.
Oh, when it came past my desk, I think because Google knows I like Aronofsky, and I guess he made for the end credits, the screen is so big, he just put it all up there at once. There's no scrolling credits. He just put it there.
Oh, it's just, yeah. just crane. Your scrolling is you craning your neck.
Yeah, basically. And then he, but the screen, to call what you said, James, it's so high definition. You can put everyone on the screen at once and read every single name.
Yep.
That's how crazy it is.
I'm looking forward. I want to see something there next time I go, but you also have to kind of time it because there'd be plenty of shit I don't care about.
And here's like, something else.
I don't mind you two. I don't want to see you two in concert.
I don't even know that much about them.
Yeah, but on the topic of things Gen Z might enjoy and ooh, something I would enjoy,
ooh,
all the magic shows. Oh man,
you're mind freaked, Derek.
I could get my mind freaked, but Penn and Teller. I stand for Penn and Teller.
Oh yeah,
they're getting old now, though.
Yeah, but I mean, they still left their mark on Vegas. There's all kinds of illusionist shows, from what I hear.
Ooh, that would be fun. Let's do that. So wait, Derek? Can you look at a magic trick and see what's happening?
9 to 10 times out of 10, hell no.
Oh. The opposite.
Andy, you've seen my prescription, okay? I'm
basically blind. Oh yeah. Yeah. Those are some Coke bottles.
Like, it doesn't take much to pull one on me.
That was weird too. You have like a weird prescription too. Because I was like, oh, the right eye kind of works, but the left, I was like, oh god.
Yes. I am nearsighted in one eye, farsighted in the other.
Aw. You got the best of both worlds. Or the world. I don't know. But okay,
well, who has the best of both worlds now?
Who?
That's Xbox, because it's over, baby. It's that's over.
Right.
They have officially acquired Activision Blizzard. Mm. And there's a bunch of news that we're probably just going to run through really quickly. One, Bobby Kotick's definitely gone on January 1st.
Oh, yeah.
They made an announcement that Bobby Kotick will be staying through the end of the year, which is like for a CEO staying 2 to 3 months is nothing. Mm. Jason Schreier reported that, yeah, he will be gone January 1st. And I mean, you know, good. Sad that he's getting probably hundreds, if not billions of dollars out of this deal. But hey, I can't control what I can, you know. Also, Phil Spencer has said that, hey, you know what? They got all these fucking games. I'm going to start giving them to you. basically, you know, where Activision once kind of like just sat on their huge IP list.
Yeah.
Just if you think about it, ridiculous. Also, this is something someone brought up that I want to bring back because this is I'm going to speak it into the world. Andy, ready?
I am.
What if they brought back HOTS, Heroes of the Storm?
Heroes of the Storm is still alive.
I know it is technically. Yeah, it's on life support. But now they can use all the IP from all of the Xbox studios, including Rare. They own Rare, Andy.
Yeah, and I'll bring that up a little bit later. But that's a crossover that I would care about. I don't know anything about Blizzard characters, but give me like Banjo-Kazooie and Joanna Dark.
Yep.
Let's go.
Master Chief can be in there.
Hmm. They own Spyro and Crash.
Yep.
We could get Conker in there.
Yes.
Oh, they already had the Overwatch characters. Who else does Xbox own? Who did they buy recently? Oh, they own Bethesda. You can get like a Skyrim character in there, essentially.
You could get the little Pip-Boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You get a Fallout character. Yeah.
Games on TikTok. Who was the COD one that everybody was thirsting over?
I don't know.
Some dude in like a skull mask or something?
Oh, that's... I think it's Soap.
Well, then he'll be in there too.
Yeah, that's true. They could have done that anytime. I guess HOTS was always Blizzard focused. They started getting Overwatch in there a little bit, but...
Oh, I guess the... yeah, like the Call of Duty one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll put him in there. Yeah, Master Chief. Okay. This is the... I'm hearing new potential. But is there room for another... Are they called MOBAs?
Yeah.
Room for another MOBA?
Well, HOTS was always kind of the weird MOBA, so...
But it turned toxic still, right?
No. I mean, there was no way to communicate in that game, so there was no toxicity.
That's true. You're just paying aggressively.
But doesn't even that hurt a little?
Kind of. Phil Spencer, lead of Xbox, said, I think we've done an okay job as Xbox.
Yeah.
I don't think we've done an A-plus job in looking at our franchises and revisiting. It's always a trade-off between what do you do that's new and going back and doing something. I do think with Game Pass, we have the ability to maybe pick a couple of franchises every year and do a revisited. I just made up that term, so it's not a brand. It's not out of the box. they could definitely just do like fucking 4K up-reses of old games and release them on Game Pass.
Yeah, but since you brought up Game Pass, there's one part of this acquisition that the EU was not entirely happy with. So streaming gaming rights have been offloaded to Ubisoft.
We talked about that.
Okay, but it shouldn't impact the Game Pass whatsoever. Yeah. So I'm excited for them revisiting series over time.
Which ones are you excited about, Derek?
So it looks like they've got a large collection of From Software games in this acquisition. So
they get Dark Souls, they get Sekiro.
That's a good I didn't even
another HOTS character right there. Get the Sekiro guy. You get the Tarnished.
Oh my gosh. Activision has done everything.
Yeah, no. I mean, well, they're a publisher. They got a lot. That's why everyone was like, we can't let them get this. Too bad.
So the announcement, they called it a trailer too, which I thought was interesting, but like the reveal video of it finally going through, it looked like it was trying to like drum up like an emotional piece of all their previous IPs.
Yes, they were pulling nostalgia.
We
own your past.
But it wasn't like, I don't know, like seeing pictures of like Call of Duty doesn't get me nostalgic.
Well, you didn't play a lot of Call of Duty, did you, Andy?
Oh, that's fair. Derek, you were, as I learned about you, that's Call of Duty took, oh no, it was Halo 2 that started it, but you became a COD bro, didn't you?
I wouldn't say COD bro, but I will say I felt a little something when it panned over Master Chief's helmet.
Sure. That's fair. But like seeing soldiers from Call of Duty, actually, does Call of Duty have characters? I don't actually know.
Yes, they do. There's Price. There's Soap. There's Ghost. Who else, Derek?
Honestly, I cannot recall a single name, but that does not an attack on their single player campaigns. They are by and large.
Kevin Spacey.
I didn't see Kevin Spacey in that trailer, though. No.
That's a shame. Infinite Warfare is actually one of the better campaigns.
Is it? Oh, man.
That's also where you get press F to pay respects, Andy.
Oh, is that where that's from?
That comes from Infinite Warfare.
Oh.
Or was it Advanced Warfare? Either or.
I think that was Modern Warfare 2.
No. It was Advanced Warfare. Because you press F to pay respects, and then Kevin Spacey comes and recruits the guy.
Well, I still hear F in the chat, or that's right. I've seen that still, but I don't know. That kind of took me aback. And then them showing like Spyro and Crash, and I was like, were those yours? Well, they weren't theirs initially, right?
Didn't they? Yeah, it's very weird that these PlayStation icons are now.
Yeah, it was. It also reminded me just of like the wide gamut of what Activision has done. It was interesting to me. Mainly because for the COD thing, I was like, huh, okay, all right, sure. And now they're all under Microsoft's roof. But as I was seeing all of those, and then Phil Spencer saying like, well, we're going to revisit or whatever, all I could think of was that they bought Rare and then did nothing. They made a weird Perfect Dark, and then they made a weird Banjo.
Wait, they didn't release the new Perfect Dark yet, did they?
Oh, is there another one? I'm talking about the one way, way, way back one on the
2006.
Perfect Dark Zero. Okay. Yeah. No, there's a rumor that one of Xbox Studios is working on a Perfect Dark reboot or sequel.
I guess what would that even look like now, right? Like, what even makes Perfect Dark anymore? I don't know.
Yeah.
But the Banjo-Kazooie was weird. And then they're like, oh, we'll just release a collection. And then that was
Bring back Jet Force Gemini with my dog with tank treads.
That's true. I feel bad. They made the Pinata Farm one. What was that called?
Oh, Viva Pinata.
Viva Pinata. So they did do something. I take it back. But anyways, their history with Rare hasn't made me as hopeful. But maybe we'll get a Jet Force Gemini. I just want another Conker's Bad Fur Day. I want one so bad. Oh,
there's another HOTS character, Andy. Get Conker in there.
I would love for Conker to be in there. And then, could we have the Great Mighty Pooh in there? Could he be a character? Or he could be, what is it called in a MOBA when you like attack a thing and then they start to fight with you? Isn't that a thing?
Like a mercenary or whatever.
Okay. Well, I want that. I want the Great Mighty Pooh to follow you. And then like you throw toilet. Well, you have to throw toilet paper at him. And then he throws corn nuggets at you. And then the boner guy, there's the big boner guy that you could have. And then there's so many.
Well, you know what character they won't get, Andy?
What?
They won't get Spider-Man. Sony's not giving that shit up.
They never will.
Yeah. They'll keep making shitty Spider-Man movies as long. That's not true. The last couple ones have been real good. Into the Spider-Man.
Oh, they've been fantastic, James.
Yeah, I know. But Spider-Man 2 reviews have come out. It launches this Friday, October 20th. It is currently sitting at a 91 on OpenCritic with 100% of critics recommending it. Simon Cardi at IGN gave it an 8 out of 10. Whoa. Saying Marvel Spider-Man 2 delivers Insomniac's best tale yet, and despite its open world falling short, is a reliably fun superhero power trip. Joe Donnelly at GamesRadar says Marvel Spider-Man gave it a 5 out of 5. Marvel Spider-Man 2 improves on its predecessor across the board while saluting the superhero genre over the last 30 years as a whole. With a captivating narrative and unrivaled spectacle, it's the quintessential superhero game in story and mechanical terms. Yes.
I guess we all knew it.
Well, I was cautious.
Really?
Yeah. Because I've said this before, but I'm like, you know, I've still never played Miles Morales because I just didn't kind of want to play it. I love Miles Morales. Don't try that.
Do you agree with my cable guy?
No, I love Miles Morales. Miles Morales is the best thing that ever happened to Spider-Man.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Derek, did you play Spider-Man 1?
I did.
Did you like it?
I did not like some of the side missions. Others I did like, but I just love slinging in an open world. I don't need any goals. If I can just stop some crooks here and there, I could just swing off for hours.
It was great. Even I liked it, and I don't play
the game. I mean, I had a great time. What's super interesting, too, is I've heard from a lot of reviewers is most of the people who reviewed this game platinumed it.
Really?
And they did it in like 25 to 30 hours. So what it sounds like is they cut out the bullshit. Like, you're not hunting backpacks everywhere.
That's the two missions. Ooh.
Yeah. So it seems like they really focused it up.
So we're getting a step away from the classic Ubisoft map design.
Yeah.
Of lots of space filled with nonsense that you don't really want, except for that trophy.
That makes me want to play it more, honestly. A focused 25-hour experience that could lead to a platinum. I'm still trying to beat 16 because there's too many gosh darn side quests. But if Spider-Man can do it better, hold me, please. because I can't do it anymore. I can't deal with fluff anymore.
So here's a weird question, but how much of an achievement hunter are y'all? I was somewhat of a big one on Xbox when you had a point number, but on PlayStation, I really don't care how many platinum or gold trophies I have.
Really? So the platinum is not more enticing to you than just numbers?
Not at all. I rented the King Kong game just to pad my score back in the day. I mean,
we're not going to talk about that today, but a new King Kong game came out this week, and oh boy, what? it's given Lord of the Rings Gollum a run of the its money for worst game of 2023.
I haven't even heard of this.
Oh, it's real bad, Andy.
Okay, well, let's talk about it next week then, because I want to know more about it.
Derek, I've heard that. I know I used to care more about achievements too, but I feel like there's so many just shovelware, trash, 1,000-point achievement games that it doesn't really matter. Like, you could just, if you want to get a high achievement score, it's super easy to do it now.
Yeah, no, I've definitely grown out of it. It was Xbox and 360 days where I was the hunter.
Yeah.
But do you still know then when you've, like, completed a game? Like, with a platinum, I know that you mastered that game. With points, I have no idea what you did anywhere.
Well, that's the beauty of not caring about achievements at all. I'm done with the game when I want to play something else.
Fair point, Derek. Because I have dreams of platinuming. I even dreamed about ooh, quick story. So I worked really hard to platinum Lollipop Chainsaw. I, of course, didn't, because when do I follow through on anything? But Lollipop Chainsaw, they announced that it's no longer going to be a remake, and they've changed it to a remaster based on feedback. So I guess a bunch of people, not me, wrote in and said, don't change the graphics, you goof. So Lollipop Chainsaw, expect just a remaster now. But back to achievement hunting, I don't really care. The only platinums I have are like the easy one from a Telltale game. Oh, and 13 Sentinels. I got a platinum in. Oh, and Medieval. And I think that's it. But so basically one's for babies. Just babies.
Mm-hmm. No, Andy, those are achievements that you maybe shouldn't feel proud about, but you earned them.
I like that. I did earn them. Thank you. I can't take that away. And I am proud of them. I'm not proud that I haven't platinum Final Fantasy VII Remake, though. That's a shame that I carry with me that I'm hoping to get in before Rebirth.
You shouldn't be ashamed of that, Andy. You are the quintessential fake fan.
Andy, stop!
Andy should feel shame about everything.
But I have so many figurines, Derek! Although I don't have, I canceled my pre-order of Jesse on the bike from FF7, so I am a fake fan. I'll own that. Ah, man.
Back to Spider-Man, though. Sounds like it's pretty good. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I think the reviews coming out have made me want to play it more. Like you're saying, Andy, too, hearing that it's not as bullshit and they've really cut it down. I was like, hey, respect my time. That's real nice.
Yeah.
Because holy shit, I still have so many games to play.
You've been the big gamer boy recently.
Listen, I think halfway through Lies of P.
Mm-hmm.
I could finish Starfield whenever I want to.
Okay.
I haven't gotten to Phantom Liberty yet in my Cyberpunk replay yet. I'm working through. I want to build up a little bit before I go to Phantom Liberty. Let's see. What else is playing? Oh, I'm playing Sea of Stars.
Oh, that's right.
And for some reason, I've decided to start building models.
Yeah! I've been loving the pictures, James. They make me so happy.
Andy, I've created a little nook. It's right next to my desk. I bought like a file folder to organize my shoes because it was driving me fucking insane.
Yeah. Aw. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited for you. I want more pictures when you've got them.
I said give him time to cook. He just finished one build.
I got a head, a chest, and an arm of my next one. So
you're cruising. I'm almost done with my Gurren Lagann one. I think I just have the legs to build now.
Well, you know what? Another game I'm not going to be done with because I'm going to wait to play it.
What's that?
That's Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Ooh, that's one I think I'm going to buy.
It's an evergreen game. I don't need
to rush. That's very, very true.
I don't need to rush to play it. Currently sitting at a 92 on OpenCritic with only 98. Not one better than Spider-Man, but only 98% of critics recommending.
Who is the fool? James, can you sort by idiots? Like, I want to know who doesn't recommend it.
Okay, Andy, you need to realize that some people want to gatekeep this and they don't want children to be able to beat it. They think the game's too easy. That's what I've been seeing from any hint of negativity in these reviews is this game wasn't hard enough for me. And I beat it in 15, 16 hours. It's like
what?
it's a platformer that's traditionally been open to kids.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I wonder if that's why they don't. I have been thrilled with its reception, because one thread that I've seen is a lot of people are comparing it to Super Mario World, like as in the sense that we might have something that lives up to Super Mario World. And not that we haven't had we've had a lot of excellent Mario 2D Mario games since it, but I don't know. Maybe maybe it just has the it factor. And I want it. I want it real bad.
Well, let's do the review roundup. And also, Andy, I sent you a picture in our Slack about my new.
Oh, I love it.
IGN's Ryan McCaffrey gave it a 9 out of 10. Super Mario Brothers Wonder looks and plays like a true next step for the 2D Mario platformers. Mm. Wonder effects change each stage in both surprising and delightful ways. The Flower Kingdom makes for a vibrant and refreshing change of pace, and Elephant Mario steals the show. Timothy Monbleu. And Destructoid also gave it a 9 out of 10, saying Super Mario Brothers Wonder is the first Mario game in literal decades to live up to the plumber's legendary 2D platforming legacy. It is a return to levels overflowing with creativity, a world rich with the secrets to uncover, and controls that make the mere act of movement fun. I think what Derek said is right, where I think a lot of the criticism from this game is coming from people who have more or less been playing Mario Maker for like the last 10 years, right? And they're like, I'm used to a certain level of difficulty.
Oh my gosh. That's lame. If that's the reason they dock it a point.
I've heard Tim Geddes at Kind of Funny kind of said something similar, where it's like, hey, if you're a hardcore, he gave it a 4 out of 5. But if you're a hardcore Mario fan, you might find some things in this game that are like lesser to you, but I think if you're a casual Mario fan, it's going to be a fantastic game to have, you know, or just like a, you know, Nintendo game.
I'll say that during my exclusive sneak peek at Nintendo,
oh, that's right, you played it, you motherfucker.
Yeah, I'll say that when you go into like the psychedelic world, like it kind of throws out the rules and it just does interesting stuff, and that's exciting to me. And even if it's not like super difficult, if it's like playful and fun and creative, that's entertainment in and of itself. I don't know if that's what they're criticizing, but that is what has me looking forward to it. Rayman, did you guys ever play Rayman Legends and Rayman Origins?
I was never a Rayman guy.
So when they rebooted the series later on with the Rayman Legends or whatever, those were excellent. And they had like a playfulness to it also that this new Mario reminded me of. It just gave me vibes of it. And it's just, I just want to be happy, you guys. Like, if it's just happy, 10 out of 10. Let's go. Love it. But the psychedelic trips, those are the things I'm interested in. The flowers talk to you. It's so bizarre. But
how bizarre.
Was that... grunge again?
No, how bizarre is it's post-pop, I think, is the genre for it.
I read a thing that Google's going to be able to identify songs based on humming now.
Well, I can imagine.
So let's look forward to that. But anyways, I want this game, and I've been saving up my Best Buy rewards points for it. And but I'm not going to buy it until after 16 at minimum.
Are you going to play it before Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to play this before Spider-Man?
Yes. I played the first Spider-Man years after it came out. I only played it when it came out on PS5 because I needed a launch game. And I absolutely loved it, but I'm in no rush to play it. But the Nintendo Live marketing convinced me that I need more Mario in my life. And so I'm chasing that dragon.
Mm-hmm. And Andy, Mario. There is online and local co-op for this, which really got my attention. There's online.
But is it the same as playing on a couch? Is it?
No, but let's be real. When was the last time you played with someone on a couch?
A couple months ago, and it was a lot of fun.
And that's an option for this game. But for people with busy lives that don't align with their friend group, or they want to do something else,
I know
you can still play with other people online.
That's fair. And yes, it's also a lot of fun to play online. But I'm glad that they offer that, because I know before they just didn't. Probably because it was hard.
I mean, it's hard because Nintendo refuses to make it easy. But yes,
that's probably true. But well, that's good to hear, too. Oof. You guys, I'm excited about this game. I want to buy it.
I know, Andy.
No, I got to beat 16. There's too many side quests at the end of the game, you guys. You're about to walk into the end, and then like 20 icons pop up, and it's like,
yeah, really? They do.
Really?
They did all of them, Andy.
Ugh, got to do every single one. Jesus.
Well, you know what you don't have to do?
Please tell me.
Probably don't have to play Lords of the Fallen.
Yeah. Which they rebooted it with the same name, and they've only done it once before. This isn't like a franchise with a storied history. It's just a game that came out 5 years ago, right?
Yeah, and it was not great when it came out 5 years ago. I think this is actually a better attempt at it, but Lords of the Fallen released last week, yes. And it's currently sitting at a 74 on Open Critic, with only 64% of critics recommending it.
Oh.
Travis Northup at IGN gave it an 8 out of 10, saying Lords of the Fallen is an awesome Souls-like with fantastic dual realities premise. Even when the performance shortcoming and wimpy bosses crash the party.
It's and as then, good as Mario, is what they're saying.
That's there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Nightingale Eurogamer gave it a 2 out of 5.
Whoa.
Missing the elegance of From Software, Lords of the Fallen is a letdown by Souls-like cliches and performance woes. So something that happened with this is I believe they switched to Unreal Engine 5 late in their development cycle.
Okay.
And yeah, it's caused all sorts of havoc with this game.
Really?
It's real pretty. Sure. But I think performance-wise, it suffered for it. It has created this kind of interesting thing where Lords of the Fallen is much more of a slow Souls-like, closer to, you know, like your original Dark Souls 1 or Demon Souls, whereas you have Lies of P, which is much more like your Sekiro and your Bloodborne, right? Mm. So they're kind of two sides of the coin of Souls-likes.
Okay.
So I think depending on how you like it, you may like one better than the other.
Sure.
Yeah. I may still end up playing. I've been watching some people play it, and I'm like, this game looks fun. And as I think was IGN said, the dual realities premise, you kind of, similar to Super Mario Brothers Wonder, you can kind of move between these worlds and it changes how things happen. So
okay. Derek, you had a take on it too.
So my main take is I see the co-op tag on Lords of the Fallen. I hear that it can have an entire campaign playthrough with a group.
Cool.
That speaks to me very much because, again, I love playing games with other people.
Yeah.
But the combat does look floaty, more like Dark Souls 3, and I don't see a whole lot of diversity in the movesets. Like, Lies of P had lots of unique movesets, but Lords of the Fallen, if you dual wield any weapons at all, they're always the same moveset, which is fine. It's good to have something that you're comfortable with whenever you're playing a Souls game, that especially one as unforgiving as this one. I hear that the respawn points are much further than modern Souls games have been.
Mm. Well, it's not for babies, Derek. Are you a baby?
I am a baby.
Okay, that's for me too. You, me, bud.
Like, back in the day, you could throw waves of enemies at me in a Souls game, and I'd have no problem. But, I don't know. After I turn 30, I just don't have the gamer skills anymore.
Fair. It does get harder as we get older, right? It's age.
Oh, everything's so hard for me.
It is. Oh, by the way, quick public service announcement to all of our listeners. Stretch. Before you do anything, stretch. I have spent so much money and so much time trying to fix my ankle, and apparently it's called Achilles tendonitis, and the solution is to stretch. So, guys, just stretch. That's all I've got to say. Welcome to our 30s. But games do get harder as we get older.
Nope.
What do you mean no? So,
Andy, back in when we were in middle school and high school, we could play like 6 hours of a game every day.
That's true.
Now,
what are you talking about? I do that now.
Well, James,
that's why James doesn't have this problem.
Yeah. So
when we only get like 6 hours a week at most, your skills atrophy. You drop a game.
I'm still playing Monster Hunter now too.
Ooh, I've been playing a lot of that.
I've played so much of it. Just last week, I started playing Monster Hunter Frontier, the 2007 online Monster Hunter game released.
Yeah, it made me want to go back to Rise, but I was like, not enough to restart and not enough to relearn where I left my save. Yeah. So I was like, we'll wait for the next Monster Hunter.
Yeah, that's why I went to Frontier. Just a whole new experience.
You know, okay, quick. Monster Hunter etiquette, all right? I was out during some event, I don't remember, but I was walking around. Oh, it was Diabolos. So I guess this was a bit ago, but I was out during the Diabolos event. And I was walking around, and a bunch of other people were playing, and I would go to fight one, and they would say, there's a bunch of people available, and I would say, like, join, or, like, open it up for other people to join, and no one would join. Nobody. Yeah. And I would walk around and I would see people and they looked like they were playing. Like, I didn't look at their phone, but you could tell they were playing. Okay. We know what it looks like. Nobody joined me. And I feel like if you open an invitation, you join. You join.
So, Andy, just to clear up, one of the mechanics in the game is if you've already defeated a monster or you cannot join a hunt with other people to kill that monster again.
Oh,
so if everyone has already killed that creature and then they moved on to doing like maybe some paintballs that they have, they're still playing in the area, but they don't see a sign saying, hey, come help me.
So you're saying they would have helped me?
I think so.
Okay.
I have seen literally one person play it around me. And that's
really
it. Yep. No one plays it in Boston.
Huh. That's interesting. I would have expected a lot of people to play it.
You would think a college town, right? But no.
Yeah, I've got a college town. It's all the young people playing it. And then the old fuddy-duddy, me, rolling around without stretching. And nobody's joining my party. They don't want to be with the lame old guy. But, Derek, you said they already killed them. So, all right. That makes sense. That makes sense. Thank you again to Niantic for the party we got to go to at PAX. Your game actually ended up being fantastic. I've been enjoying it so much.
And then speaking of Lies of P, they have sold 1 million copies for a game that's on Game Pass. Remember, so that in addition to the 1 million people bought Lies of P.
Wow.
Instead of just spending $8.99 to play on Game Pass.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. It's a real good game.
I have a friend that platinumed it. They loved it.
There's it's not a spoiler, and I don't give a shit. At the end, they kind of tease what the next game might be, and it might be based on another, what would you call it? Grimm's fairy tale.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I would like if the studio kind of does this thing where they like take the souls like formula and they keep applying it to like fairy tales.
What fairy tale should be next?
It's not technically a fairy tale. They were hinting at the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, that could be fun.
Yeah.
That could be a lot of fun. Ooh, are they all going to be high on opium? Was it opium?
Well, you're thinking of Alice in Wonderland.
What was the one? Oh, the poppies. What do you get high off from poppies?
That's opium.
I remember there's like a poppy field. I feel like I remember reading.
Oh, and Lizard. I'm being honest with you. I've never watched Wizard of Oz the whole way through.
No way.
Yeah.
Huh. Like, never even in school. They didn't wheel out the TV.
No, we watched Ferngully.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Also fun, but also interesting. Wow, you've never seen all of it. It's a classic.
I mean, again, like many movies,
you saw.
I've seen all of it in aggregate, just never in one sitting.
Fair. Well, that could be a fun one. I just remember being told that the Emerald City was a drug trip. So maybe there's that. I could see that. Yeah.
That's a fun theory.
It is. Well, good on that.
Derek, why don't you talk about your thing?
Yeah, I want to hear more about it.
Which thing?
The one,
posted in Slack.
Oh, okay. So it's likely not going to be on anyone's radar unless they have followed the Japanese streaming scene. But there's
heard it here first, everyone.
So there's a game called Watermelon Game, or Suika Game, that took the internet by storm recently.
Mm.
Developed by, of all companies, one that specializes in making projectors for companies.
Oh, that's interesting.
But it's a very simple concept. You just sort of Tetris-like. You have something that you're going to drop, then you can see the next one that's going to be available. And if two of the same kind of thing connect or touch, then they combine to the next tier. And you're just trying to get as many points inside this jar of fruits as you can before you come out the top. So very simple, very nice content for most streamers, as they can play and chat without too much concentration. But they decided, after all of their unprecedented success recently, to set strict terms on who has rights to create clips of gameplay content. And other things that are basically etiquette, which aren't too crazy, but it's still very Japanese draconic of, like, just trying to have total control. So they said only content creators could make clips of their own streamed content. And then as soon as the internet dogpiled them, they turned around and changed it.
Okay, so,
it's been a good month of it being everywhere. And then now everyone is dropping it, even going to play fan-made games that are similar.
Oh, no. So just like the ethics of it, they're like, screw this game.
Yes.
So wait. Okay. Question, though, on the ethics of this. So they're saying, hey, are a lot of these VTubers, Derek?
Yes.
I love it. Are any of them crony?
I mean, I think she's played it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Now I'm on her side. But so they're just saying, crony, you can play the game. God bless. But if anybody clips your content, that's the problem?
Correct.
Why do they care?
Because they're a Japanese technology company who all of their boardroom is probably like 60, 70-year-olds who they hear that people are enjoying their content, but the content is played by someone else. That just gets them confused. So they try to put a stop to it. That's all I can figure out from it.
But they let crony play it.
Yeah.
And they were fine with it.
Correct.
But then me, the sweaty creep, like, I clip it and post it on my fan TikTok, and I'm in trouble?
Yes.
Why?
Because they – okay, a lot of Japanese companies have – they'd rather have control than to be profitable.
Mm.
So if you remember back in the day, especially single-player games, Nintendo – would file DMCA notices on anyone streaming it for profit. And they've loosened up a bit, but they still have weird guidelines on large streamers going through, say, Pokemon. Like, you almost never see a big name do a full Pokemon playthrough.
Sure.
And I don't know the exact terms, but it's like, it's Nintendo. People watching gameplay can drive sales.
Yeah.
Outside of some narrative-only games where you get the whole experience watching someone else do it.
Mm-hmm. I just really don't understand how it affects their bottom line.
Oh, it does not.
Yeah.
It impacts it negatively because some people only consume content through clips. They don't watch entire streams.
Like James.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
James,
I do watch streams though.
But. Okay. I just know you're big on clips. It's literally free advertising. Free.
It's free real estate.
Huh. How interesting. But they rolled back and then everybody left them. Will Unity suffer the same fate? Watermelon, will say they will.
I mean, for both cases, this is a minor portion of what they care about. Like, they make projectors. Surprising that they even made a game.
Yeah, that's weird.
And even after it got really popular, even across the ocean, they still only sell it on the Japanese Nintendo store.
Hmm. Is it spicy?
No. It's literally cute pictures of fruit that you drop into a jar and then they combine to other fruit.
Yeah, I don't see the problem then.
You're not Japanese?
Yeah. Well, that's too bad, but interesting. Like, what a bizarre thing to get mad about. I don't know. Well, like you said, it's probably just old people. Old people. But you guys, we're becoming old. Are we going to be out of touch about video games?
I think we already are.
Hey, I have my finger on the pulse.
Well, we can verify the truth of that on another episode of Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a news show.
Mm-hmm.
I've been your host, James. Yes, I do have a 36-hour day. Why do you ask? Hartwell, and I've been joined by...
Oh, crap, I'm second. Oh, no.
Yeah, you are.
Andy, I'm old, but I'm not that bad at games. I'm not watermelon projector bad at games. Okay. And I've been joined by...
Derek, indie enjoyer, Costio.
Indie.
I-N-D-I-E.
Oh, okay. Fair.
Have a good night.
Derek. All right, you guys. Have a good night.
Good night or morning, wherever you are.
Yeah. Oh, that was considerate. I didn't think of that.
Fuck them.